Good afternoon. So in the July board meeting, we started the discussion of on qualitative characteristics of useful financial information. And the staff argued that because of a different audience for the practice statement and the broader nature of information and management commentary than that for financial statements, the revised practice statement should include brief descriptions of each qualitative characteristic, using plain language as much as possible. So the revised practice statement would also provide further guidance where it is needed to address gaps in reporting practice, support the provision of qualitative or forward-looking information, or to clarify challenging areas for preparers. At the same meeting, the board discussed the fundamental qualitative characteristic of relevance, and in particular, what guidance to include on making materiality judgments when preparing management commentary. Today, we'll discuss the second fundamental qualitative characteristic, faithful representation. The existing practice statement states that information and management commentary should possess that characteristic, but it does not explain it further explicitly. Our research has shown that the term faithful representation is not widely used or understood by the audience of the practice statement, which is why the staff recommend to include in the revised practice statement guidance on the three qualities which make up faithful representation: completeness, neutrality, and freedom from error. To explain that the requirement for information to have these qualities cannot be used as an excuse for not providing information that is not perfectly complete, neutral, or free from error, the staff also recommends including in the guidance a statement based on the paragraph in the conceptual framework which states that these qualities need to be maximized to the extent possible. So starting with the first question for the board, we would like to ask if the board agrees with the staff's recommendations that the revised practice statement includes guidance on each of the qualities that make up faithful representation, and that it explains that perfection may not always be achievable, but information should still be provided with these qualities maximized to the extent possible.
Perhaps we should say that perfection may always not be achievable.
Well, no, I just
that would be the reality for those people.
Okay, Mary.
I think it's maybe more wording, but I think it's wording that matters. I do not want to repeat, embed in the document a statement that perfection may not always be achievable, but you should maximize. I agree with that you should maximize, but I think if we start in a document, I would care more if it were a mandatory standard, but if we start in a document saying, don't worry, you don't have to achieve perfection. It's just telling people you can decide how hard you're going to try on anything. And if you look at paragraph 12, you'll see from the copy of the conceptual framework, that was an exhortation to the board to think about these things and reaching its kind of global decisions and standards about how it weighs things. It wasn't permission to an individual preparer to decide what it is. So I think what we're trying to, what we should be trying to capture in what you put as question 1B is those characteristics should be maximized to the extent possible. And if we want to temper it a bit, maybe saying considering cost constraints and timeliness or something like that. But I just think we have to worry about the messaging, think about the messaging we're giving. And we have to be careful about taking something that was directed at the board in its standard setting and just applying it to everybody.
Good point. Ms. Faz.
At different occasions, this project, we have already highlighted the need to move away from language which is really the language of accountants and make it really readable, easily understandable for those people who are more directly involved in the management commentary preparation. So I agree in substance with what you propose, but I would move away from our language.
Tom?
I think I'm kind of the opposite. If we are basing on the conceptual framework, I totally agree with the idea of doing the three elements of, but I think there should still be a heading so that people can link. And over time, I think people will learn it. that if we introduce these three elements, it'll almost seem like they're standalone elements, but they're really part of a way of conceiving the world. So I don't know exactly how you want to phrase it. I really like the three elements, but I still think you need to get back at least somewhere to the fact that these are underlying a fundamental thing in faith representation. And I thought Mary's point was very good on perfection.
Okay, with these comments, can we support the staff's recommendation?
14.
So we now move to the discussion of the individual qualities, starting with completeness. We've heard concerns about lack of completeness of information and management commentary on two levels, completeness of management commentary as a whole and completeness of information on a particular matter. The staff think that completeness in the context of management commentary as a whole is addressed by the guidance on identifying material information for inclusion in management commentary, which the board tentatively approved in July, and we do not propose any further guidance on this. Today, we would like to ask the board about the staff's recommendations on completeness of information on a matter, which corresponds to the meaning attributed to completeness in the conceptual framework. To explain the meaning of completeness and help preparers understand how to provide a complete depiction of a matter, the staff recommend that the revised practice statement includes a description of completeness based on the conceptual framework, which explains that a depiction of matter is determined to be complete by reference to primary users' information needs. To be complete, a depiction of a matter does not necessarily require management to provide all information it has about that matter. And a complete depiction of a matter should include material information about the nature of the matter and factors and circumstances that might affect it. This would be included in the revised practice statement, in addition to the guidance on providing coherent narrative about matters that need to be discussed in management commentary, as discussed in the July paper, as well as guidance on the content elements of management commentary that will be discussed in future board papers. Together, these would help preparers determine how to provide complete information on a matter. Does the board agree with this recommendation?
A comment that applies, I think, across all of them, goes back to Francoise's reminder that we're trying to write in less techie language and more for general consumption. I think that the staff is doing a good job in this one in terms of saying, here's a word that we use. Here's what we mean by that. And I mean, I think we have to challenge ourselves all the time to look at whether the words in this case A and B would convey, you know, would be effective communication with somebody who does not come from an accounting background. But I think, as Tom said, the right approach is to take things that we might just shorthand and not bother to explain in another document and say, in this context, this is what we think it means. So I support the approach you're taking. We may hear back from people that we're still talking our own special language, and then we'll figure out what more we have to say.
Nick?
I think the language thing remains a challenge. I'm still not very sure about having a heading of faithful representation, which I think most people struggle with. And I think getting the tone right is really quite difficult, because on one hand we want, you know, we talk about clear and concise. Those aren't necessarily our words in the conceptual framework, but we talk about that in terms of management commentary. And I think there are lots of examples where excess information, it almost obscures the material factors. And whether we need to lean more heavily on the definition of materiality in here, I know we reference materiality, it's just getting that tone. There's probably more work here which we just need to finesse, but right direction, certainly, is definitely support, including the concept of completeness in there. It's just how we nuance it, I think, is the issue.
In fact, the point about not providing all the information that management has on a matter also is kind of helping towards the conciseness.
It leans in a direction, whether
the material information.
It's the button with it. I mean, that's what I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure we're there yet.
Okay. Can we support staff's recommendation?
14.
Moving on to neutrality, again, the staff heard concerns about lack of neutrality of management commentary as a whole and lack of neutrality in the selection and presentation of information on a matter. We have identified two possible reasons for lack of neutrality in management commentary as a whole. So the first one relates to the omission of matters that should be discussed in management commentary. For example, an entity omits discussing competitive threats or matters of a negative nature or effect. The staff think that the guidance approved by the board at the July meeting on identifying which matters need to be included in management commentary would help address this, because all identified matters would have to be discussed, irrespective of whether they are of a positive or negative nature. The second reason relates to how information is organised and communicated in the management commentary. Users have expressed concerns that management teams tend to give more prominence to positive matters and use overly positive language across management commentaries. Therefore, the staff recommend that the revised practice statement requires due prominence to all matters that need to be discussed, and that the overall tone and language used in management commentary should contribute to an unbiased depiction of an entity's performance and position. The other aspect of neutrality relates to selection and presentation of information on a matter, which corresponds to the meaning of neutrality in the conceptual framework. Our recommendations are aimed at addressing reporting practices which undermine neutrality. As discussed in paragraph 30 of the paper, the board already approved some guidance that could help address lack of neutrality due to omission or aggregation of information. In addition, the staff recommend including in the revised practice statement a description of neutrality based on its description in the conceptual framework. It would explain that information about that matter cannot be omitted, obscured, given undue prominence, or be otherwise manipulated to influence primary users' understanding of the matter in a particular way. This is to address the concerns about information being giving a positive slant on a matter. We also recommend that the revised practice statement would require the provision of explanatory information to help primary users understand the likelihood of outcomes if a range of possible outcomes is provided in management commentary. This is to address the concerns that providing unsupported ranges of potential outcomes could mislead users. The staff recommendations on the guidance to be provided in the revised practice statement on neutrality of management commentary as a whole and on neutrality in the selection and presentation of information on a particular matter are summarised in question 3 on page 12. And does the board agree with these recommendations?
Anne?
This business of neutrality, you talk about all matters and you also talk about the tone and the language. And I think there's something else that we could refer to, and I want to make a suggestion for three words to add into question 3A2, because I think there's actually another issue that's not really captured by what we've said so far, and I think we need to capture it. And it's actually the explanations that people give, because they actually can construct explanations for things, and they say, this happened because of this. And that's what management commentary is all about, giving us words that we can use to interpret these numbers. But they actually construct these explanations in a particular way. And that isn't their tone or their language. It's actually they've constructed an explanation, and they can do it in a way that's not neutral, because they can say revenue has increased and it's increased because we've restructured this and we've made this management decision and we've done this. And they can completely ignore the fact that at the same time there are increasing beneficial economic conditions. So they can claim a good result for an internal reason and put all the bad results to external reasons, which is not neutral, but it's in the explanation. So I do think it's, I've looked carefully about how you've done this, and I agree with what you're saying. But I think there's actually something else that goes on, and it's the construction of explanations. So my suggestion would be in 3A2, when we say the overall tone and language used, blah, 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 it would be the overall tone, the language used, and the explanations presented. So we're actually asking that the explanations themselves are presented in a neutral way, not in a biased way.
I think we are trying to cover that through the omission of information.
And you've got down here about manipulated. but I suppose I was looking for some reference to that, because it's easy for people to say, oh, yes, you know, you've talked about all matters, and you've talked about tone, and you've talked about language. And in my thinking about it, there's something else. Now, you might think it's covered in otherwise manipulated depiction of a matter needs to be neutral. You might think it's covered in otherwise manipulated, but it's another element of how information's presented. So I just put it out there.
Thank you.
Sue?
I, of course, agree with the whole idea of emphasising it needs to be neutral. But I think this is another example of an area where language is going to be very important. And I'm thinking about the discussion we had at ASAF, which was quite a difficult discussion from memory, which seemed to be a combination of, I think, not that they don't understand the concept, obviously they do, but that their concerns about how well that notion would be communicated using our normal language, but also whether it was even sort of reasonable in a sense to ask management to be unbiased, because in their minds, by definition, they sort of do come with a bias. And I just wonder whether we've done anything in the way we've articulated this that is different from what we presented to ASAF that will help us both show that we've listened, but also to help them, you know, be convinced that we can communicate this well. And so I wondered whether we'd made any changes. And just as an example of the use of the word the use of language, I think the word manipulated comes with connotations that I did it on purpose to be evil. So it may not be well received. And so I think we need to be really careful to be as neutral as possible with our own language, in fact.
Neutral about neutrality.
Yeah, neutral about neutrality. And I saw, and one of the suggestions I think that came up at ASAF, and I've seen it in documents subsequently, is a tendency to use the word balanced more than neutral.
That's what the strategic report does.
And I just wondered whether we should give a little bit more consideration to that.
I was going to say the same thing, because balanced is a word that people understand more easily. And I think it is used in the strategic report, so you might also take a look at the guidance that they have developed. So I think there's a better way of doing this. Neutrality is difficult. Martin?
No, I also want to say the same thing, because I think it's balanced, but not neutrality and not biased. And if you speak about the objectives of your strategic goals, I think it is very, very difficult for management to using this kind of words of neutrality. And I think it is a kind of balance is a little bit better, I think. And
isn't a little bit the problem also that the conceptual framework is primarily directed at us, right? Not at preparers. Mm-hmm. They can look into it when the standards don't give the clear results. But it is really telling us how to set our standards. And that, therefore, much of the language is highly technical and very sophisticated. So that's why we are already trying to make it a little bit more practical here, but I wouldn't be so bound to the terms that we use in the conceptual framework. Just get a general idea.
I think also just coming back on the observation around, is it possible to be neutral when you're discussing strategy or performance? I think there's reference in here that we anticipate some additional guidance on those two particular areas when we come to those content elements.
I certainly agree that with the comments around the sophistication of this language, but I would not be in favour of keeping for all the other elements the language in the conceptual framework, and for that one in particular, take another word suggesting that it is something different. Either we go to easier language all throughout, and we make the link to the conceptual framework, that the same concepts, using easier language. But if we single out neutrality with a different word, then we suggest that we have, for this one in particular, it's allowed to have don't know what amount of bias that...
I'm not so sure that we need a link to the conceptual framework to be to begin with.
Well, in the appendix, we actually talked about this concern regarding language, and we said that we might use the word neutrality, but we explain it in terms that people understand, referring to balance or...
It is not such a fantastic idea to start with words that people find very difficult and then have to say, yeah, but we really mean balanced. It's too convoluted. And I don't know why we have to be explaining the main concepts of the conceptual framework when we can also do something much more simple. Getting the same ideas, but this is not a financial statement. This is a separate document, a separate instrument. So. Perhaps we can find some more shortcuts. Nick?
I would always use the most straightforward language because this is all about communication. This is, you know, the document's about communication. We need to be able to communicate what this document is meant to be and how it's put together easily in a straightforward manner. I wanted to pick up really on something which we just to clarify, something which we haven't talked about yet, is the third item here and the expected ranges, just so I understand this clearly in terms of what we're suggesting might be permitted and what might not be. So I understand the scenario that you don't like is, or what we don't like is suggesting that, let's say, that year three target revenues is for up to 16 million because it's all about the upside. And we could replace that by to say that our year three revenue target is 14 to 16 million, so we've given a range instead. Could I still give a central estimate? Could I say my central target is for 15, my midpoint, or does it always have to be a range?
I guess it's about supporting the likelihood of that range, because if you're just giving the upper end, mm-hmm. and how likely is it to reach that upper end? Whereas actually, if it's much more likely to reach a much lower target, then it's quite misleading to just provide the higher number. So it's kind of giving more explanatory information on if you're giving a range or even just the one end of the range. Yep. You need to think about the likelihood of achieving it so that it's not misleading.
Just through more narrative or... Okay.
Gary.
Thank you. Somewhat in the same vein as some of the other comments, I think you need to write this section not for accountants. I mean, in big corporations, much of the stuff is written outside of not just control, but perhaps outside of finance. And I'm fine if in the basis or someone you triangulate back to the conceptual framework, I would use more common business speak, you know, but these are all very important. But if I go to the section we haven't gotten to yet, freedom from error, I guarantee you no one thinks what we think it means here. And I think you need, this is a very helpful thing to kind of form a role. You try to police these sort of communications, but they don't work for you, and you really get told to show me where it says I got to do that. And so I have a nice write-up of neutrality, or I like the word balance as opposed to neutrality. I think that's more commonly understood. This will become very helpful from people actually trying to get this, you know, out the door and the, you know, sort of consistent with this organization thinks, but recognize the people that write a lot of it or don't view themselves as even finance people in some cases. So this is a very, very good section. I would dumb it down to more common business language, but also write it for a tool for someone like myself, my old job, that you can use. I say, here it is. You know, you got to do this, which really doesn't exist, I don't think, in the main out there.
So first let me go to the language thing. I think the staff have used the conceptual framework as a basis for analysis and to think about all these issues. I think that was really good. And I totally agree, the language in the document has to be user-friendly. I think maybe Gary's suggestion, you still need to maintain a bridge from that starting point that informed you all the way to the language. It has to be written somewhere for somebody sometime so they understand how you got there. Question of where to put it, Gary may be right about the basis. And so I just encourage you to think about how to follow what Hans said about making it really user-friendly while not losing the thing that's been guiding you for a year. You can't just throw it away. I guess on that front, a couple of small comments also just on paragraphs 30 and 32 to just for you to think about. I notice, and again, I think the neutrality sort of talks about not obscuring, and you talk about aggregation with regard to not obscuring, but I think that's kind of an important concept that in and of itself is just what's the right level of aggregation for the management commentary. And I'd kind of encourage you to put more in the affirmative when you get there. So rather than not obscure, it's what level of aggregation is necessary to inform the reader. And on that, I think we have some really good stuff in the PFS project. And again, paying attention to wording, I think it would be good to look at what we're doing on PFS and see if you can get similar principles with the appropriate wording for the management commentary. 32, exactly the same issue. If we're going to talk about ranges, I think we're doing some good stuff in the disclosure project right now. And I'm not sure if it applied directly, but I'd go and think about how we're phrasing and what principles we're using and whether you can incorporate those principles with appropriate wording.
Mary?
Going back to the structure issue first, I think actually I want to reinforce that it's really important to me that this be tied back to the conceptual framework, which is a framework for reporting, not just for financial statements. It's also important because I think there are people who are nervous that this project is us going off piste of our remit. So I think tying it back to the conceptual framework is helpful, but I don't think we should, and I'd prefer that it was clear in the document rather than in the basis, you know, kind of relegated to the basis. But I think we can do that without having our hands tied in the discussion. So, for example, I think we could say, you know, management commentary should be neutral. By neutral, you know, neutrality is an important feature of reporting. In the context of a management commentary, by neutral we mean balanced. And, you know, and then we can just go into kind of plainer English. But I think a very simple link back without that then kind of constraining the language you use in the rest of the discussion. And that's, you know, so maybe make a break for more plain English earlier on, rather than the more formal drafting that you have in question 3B.
All the questions that we'll get from people who use the conceptual framework for financial reporting, if we're going to say, well, balance is the same as neutrality.
No, that's why I say in the context of a management commentary, you know, we think that and I think that's an important qualifier.
So does it not mean balance in the conceptual framework? Yeah.
So in that it can be unbalanced? I mean, it's itself up for lots of problems.
Well, I think we've got to link it back. And if somebody's going to do that kind of...
Well, you can say in the basic conclusion, we broadly wanted to reflect the main pillars of the conceptual framework, qualitative characteristics, but we have a different document here. Yeah.
I think we should try and do it without getting... without it constraining us to very formalistic language. I think there can always be a one sentence kind of link and then move on. The other kind of comment in passing about ranges, we can't require somebody to express their management commentary as a range. They may have a revenue target of 16 million. That may be their target. We can require them to discuss risks associated with it, whether it's a stretch or something. On the other hand, they may have a range of 12 to 16, in which case, you know, then we say, think about how you express that range. Is it a range, a midpoint in the range, the upper end, and tell us what it means. But I'm going to hark back to one of Martin's comments about management performance measures. You can't call it management performance measures and then tell management what to think. It's either, you know, it's either them telling you what they're what their target is, and us help, you know, saying here's what you have to think about and communicating it.
We weren't trying to prevent from reporting targets, but just to give the supporting information.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with the general gist of the discussion that we just had, can we? Anna?
I just think that the staff's got some very mixed messages now on what to do on the language. You've got people around the table that really want it grounded in conceptual framework for reasons discussed, and you've got others that are at the other extreme. So I think if we send staff away now, I don't think we've given them a clear steer on how we want this language put together.
It sounds like to me, it sounds that a lot of the discussion almost comes down to drafting. It sounds like the message actually is fairly consistent, that of course we are guided in the by the conceptual framework, and of course what is useful information generally in principle is the same for financial statements and for management commentary. I think everyone also agrees in principle that in the revised practice statement, those ideas need to be explained as plainly as possible, given a different audience. Now, how exactly it can be done and which headings we use, we can't really discuss it or decide at a board meeting. It's a drafting question. But it seems to me that the steer we're getting actually is fairly consistent.
Yeah, although, of course, there is a big difference between you start with the terms of the conceptual framework and then translate them for the use of, but you mention both. Which I think is very difficult, or it's not so difficult, but very confusing for people. Or you say you use terminology that is simpler to understand, that is based on the philosophy of the conceptual framework, but and you explain that in the basis for conclusions, but in the document itself you use a different term when necessary.
So I think what we had in mind for this paper is sort of go some way, you know, along this line. So that's why, for example, we didn't think it would be helpful to use a language faithful representation in the practice statement itself, but we would still use it as a basis and explain sort of how it all reconciles. We did think when we were working on this paper that using the word neutrality in the practice statement itself is appropriate if it's supported by explanations what we mean. But of course we're hearing some mixed views about whether this word should be used or shouldn't be used.
Well, I think
it sounds like, again, we are all trying to get to the same position, and the question is, okay, do we use the word neutrality or not? We could walk away, and as we progress in the project and as we start working on the drafting, if we need to, the use of this one particular word can be brought back to the board as a sweep issue, but the sort of overall direction seems...
Yeah, we aren't saying walk away from the conceptual framework as the structure for analyzing features. You know, we aren't saying forget that conceptual framework stuff. We don't have
nobody saying that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, yeah, your suggestion is fine. See what you can achieve in draft if necessary to come back to the board. Francois?
Yeah, I think it's important that we do that consistently so that we have the same approach for every characteristic.
So that we're balanced.
Mm. No, I mean, in that term, I mean, it's so that people really understand that these are the same concepts because they read the basis. And when they read the document, they understand what is required.
Okay. Can we support the somewhat amended staff recommendation?
How is it amended?
Well, not really. Apparently, according to you.
Also marking the basis.
Amendment is a broader one.
In English.
Then we come to the freedom from error again.
So finally on freedom from error or accuracy. The staff heard concerns from the consultative groups about whether it is inherently possible for information based on judgments to be free from error, and therefore could including this quality as a requirement for management commentary deter management from providing such information. To address this, the staff recommend including in the revised practice statement a description of free from error based on the conceptual framework, which explains that it does not mean perfectly accurate in all respects, but that there are no errors in how the reported information was produced or how the information is described in management commentary, and including guidance that explains that information based on judgment should be included in management commentary if it is material. And when such information is provided, management should distinguish information based on judgment from factual information, and also explain the process and sources used to produce the information and its limitations, and describe the assumptions and methods of calculations used. Does the board agree with this recommendation?
Well, I think this is the worst of the three. You're going to take, say to management, they should be free of errors, but you can make errors. It's not going to work. This is really so sophisticated. And I remember reading the conceptual framework for the first time. I thought, my God, you know, how can you get there? But then I read it again, and okay, I sort of got there. But this is really hopeless if we include this in the management commentary. Really. With this language. It's hopeless. Martin is going to say the same thing.
Exactly. And especially if you want to speak about as management, about your strategic goals, and then adopting that kind of language, man, that is impossible. And try to do that, and then say, okay, it should be effective and distinguish and explaining that. And nobody can do that and will do
that.
They
will lose, this will be error somewhere in the beginning, and they will lose all interest very quickly.
Yeah. It is a little bit like, when I compare it, a little bit like, no, I should not say that, sorry.
Interested yourself. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is not helpful, but yeah.
Yes. With regard to free from error, I also have similar concern, because if we got neutrality there, so whether we really need further to require your free from error, because as Martin said, management commentary normally it's different from financial statements. We got very strict recognition, measurement, disclosure requirements standard there. But management commentary normally involving a lot of estimation, forward-looking, and judgment, maybe subjective. So even we borrow that term of free from error, maybe the level of free from error is different from financial statement. So yeah. I think we should, I'm not sure how when we draft those wording to explain whether that free from error can apply to the management commentary and how to apply,
You were trying to bring in the conceptual framework, it explains how free from error applies to estimates, and we see it's a similar reasoning for the type of information in management commentary.
I would really avoid the term freedom of error in the text of the last, because it's you can try to summarize what the conceptual framework means, but it is so difficult, this, and it would really scare people, have to be totally free of error. Adele?
Independent of the term that we are going to use here, what I believe it's the main message here is try to bring some accountability to management in relation to the quality of the information that is being provided. Because what I have the experience is that sometimes when the auditors, for example, that has the responsibility to read this document as well, sometimes it finds a lot of mistakes and doesn't seem that were made with care. I just worried about some of the message, but not very much worried about whether all information is consistent, is all there, etc. I agree that the term is a bit strong, but I mean that the main message here seems to be accountability with the quality of the report. That's, I like the idea of bringing this into the main message.
think for this issue, the same goes as the previous one.
Enhanced. Would the term accuracy present the same issue?
Yeah. Accuracy.
Yeah.
So it sounds like maybe on this one we need to do a little bit more thinking, but that shouldn't really stop us from progressing, and we can come back to it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't think we need to vote.
No.
All right. Thank you. This is difficult, but we'll get there. Let's take a break till 5 past.